There are many, many ways to do monarchy. Of course, Gibbon famously said that the best government that man had ever had was the five good emperors. I have a different view of government, I think, in some ways. You know, when you've been part of government, I think you see it as, you know, perhaps a little bit of a prize to enjoy, as Fidel Castro called it, the sweet honey of power, is a very delicious honey. And, you know, all I could think of when you were talking about how much you believe in democracy and how good a job it's doing is the quote of a certain English woman, actually, by the name of Mandy Rice Davies, who said, well, he would, wouldn't he? He would, wouldn't he? And, you know, yeah,
it's kind of what we call a sixth form debating point in England. It doesn't quite go to the argument.
Let me return to a line by one of your great poets who said, for forms of government, let fools contest. I hope we're not fools. Whatever governs best is best. And so, you know, if you have a case that, for me, whatever governs best is best, you know, and if the United States, if my country were best governed by aliens from Tau Ceti, I would be like, put the aliens in charge. If they were best governed by Australians, you know, we actually had a huge problem in San Francisco with Australian gangs in the 1840s. Not many know this. The Sydney Ducks.
But how do we get the aliens in charge?
Depends on your aliens. Some say they're already here. Sorry, yeah, do you believe in aliens? Are you in one of these?
No, aliens? I'm not really into aliens.
I think I agree with you.
That just sort of says
we're
to me.
We're finding points of agreement. Can I mention another point of agreement that might surprise you?
Go on.
We were both true believers in the Iraq War. I believed in it too. And I think that.
Yeah, boo him. Boo him.
I know. No. Boo me, because I was wrong. I was a neocon. I really believed in this analogy and seeing, it's just like Germany and Japan. And it turned out, it worked great, you know, installing democracy in Germany and Japan. And it didn't turn out to work great, as I think we
did. Do you think Saddam was a good monarch?
No, I think Saddam was a pretty unbalanced, crazy guy. And yet, if you look at basically what's happened to Iraq since, it's still in shambles. Mm. And it was not in shambles under Saddam in the 70s. Now, Saddam was a very brutal weirdo. You know, I read actually, if I can Putin on, you know, for a little bit, here's an example of how we get bad government. Because I don't think Saddam was a good government. I very much preferred the previous government of, Prince Faisal and Nouria Saeed. And I ran across this book in a bookstore in Oregon 30 years ago, and it was a book by clearly a member of an Arabist, a member of the British foreign policy establishment. Somebody here probably knows who this was. He wrote his Caractacus, and he was a huge advocate. It was called Revolution in Iraq, and he loved it. And he was like, this Ba'ath Party is a new and dynamic. It was like the Arab Spring. Remember the Arab Spring? Mm-hmm. Were you in favor of the Arab Spring, too?
Quite enjoyed the food. I had worries about it.
Did you voice those worries?
I did.
Oh, good. That is actually very impressive. Yeah. I'm really like, you know, because most Americans left or did not.
I am not American.
Thank God for that.
Indeed.
And one of the examples of the terrible government of pre-1956 Iraq that so upset this writer is he was like, well, the crown prince gets a 10% kickback on all the rebar imported into an Iraq. And I would say that, you know, if Iraq had continued under the Hashemites and they continued to have a 10% kickback on all of the rebar, even upped it to 15%. I think Iraq would be, there would still be Jews, for God's sakes, in Iraq. You know, and witnessing this sort of destruction of all of the places around the world that used to be the British Empire, and then sort of patting ourselves on the back for what a good government it was that sort of brought this down. Larkin's line, the places we kept safe must keep themselves safe. They're not keeping themselves safe. They certainly didn't keep themselves safe in Iraq, or really maybe Botswana is doing all right. You know, and so you see this vast destruction of good government all around the world, you know, in the 20th century in the name of democracy. And for anyone, you know, ask anyone you know, everyone here must know, you know, Nigerians, you know, a lot of Nigerians here. Ask any Nigerian who knows their past, you know, the famous novel by Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart. You know, compare Nigeria in 1950 to Nigeria in 2025 in terms of quality of governance. There's no comparison.
On the point about monarchy, though, this vision of monarchy that you have, is it hereditary?
There are many, many ways to do monarchy. Of course, Gibbon, you know Gibbon. You know, Gibbon famously said that the best government that man had ever had was the five good emperors. And if I can indulge you with a conspiracy theory, they adopted each other.
Right, and they didn't.
A private conspiracy theory for which there's no evidence at all. I was reading a very idle conspiracy theory. I was looking at these adoptions, and I was like, I feel like there might be a gay thing going on. So, like, gay...
Well, Frederick the Great was great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he couldn't have done the hereditary thing, could he?
Well, I believe he had brothers, but... You know, there's a solution for that. You know,
the reason I'm asking that is because at the moment with, you know, Trump, I sort of get the feeling that he knows that Eric and Don are kind of dumb as a brick, but...
But what about Barron?
So is that the game? Is that the theory? Does he want?
I have.
Does he support this idea of monarchy? Because I think the reason he looked so happy last week is because he basically felt this is king to king. No.
With Charles III, I mean, you know,
Charles not a real king.
He's a pasteboard king. He's a Yeah, no, of course he's not a real... you know, the irony of Charles is that the King of England has all of these reserve powers, you know, and he could at any minute raise his hand and he could say, no, we're not going to send the pensioners' heating funds to Mauritius for reasons. And, you know, he is capable of, you know, and I actually believe that the loyalty of Englishmen, you will disagree with me, the loyalty...
Well, I'm not American and I'm not English. You know, we're called the United Kingdom now.
I do understand that. There's some difference. I've never understood it.
Honestly, it doesn't take much research. Google is really good.
But you know, people used to just say England, and when I say the UK, I mean the word with a Y, so it feels, let's just say Britain. You know, and, you know, if you took the British of any period in the past, and you had them look at, you know, the century in which Britain loses her empire, dwindles into being an American satellite. There's this very horrifying, I want to just apologize for 56, you know, when our president called up Anthony Eden and swore at him over the phone. Do you know what the words Eisenhower used to Eden were?
Were they bad?
They were bad. It was called barnyard language, you know, and Eisenhower said to Eden, if you want to keep your empire, you're not going to have any oil. So, you know, there's a choice in that. And I feel that that was a sort of a brutalizing moment from which this country as a sovereign has never really recovered. Mm. But I think it could recover. And I think it could recover because that empire that subjugated you is weak.
Poor you, yeah. What about, so that's one American president being bad to a British prime minister. How do you feel as an American about the way that he's treating Denmark right now and saying that Greenland's for me, or he's treating Carney by saying you should be the 51st state? Is this just him sort of being a bully? Is bullying part of monarchy? Expansionism part of monarchy?
As you may or may not know, it was Teddy Roosevelt who called the American presidency a bully pulpit. Mm-hmm. Now, he meant something slightly different from that, but no.
He meant that gave you the power to lead to project you had a voice.
Bully just meant good in New England prep school slang. It did not mean bullying. No, I would be the last person to say that Donald John Trump is in any way perfect or that I agree with all of his policies. And in fact, I think it's rather pointless to bully Denmark about Greenland when, in fact, Denmark is already a satellite state. And I believe that actually, to me, with my very, very medieval view of sovereignty in politics, I believe that Denmark actually lost her sovereignty in 1802. What was it when they bombarded Copenhagen? You know, and frankly, the world has been a unipolar world order since Waterloo. You'd agree with that, right?
Unipolar as, and what is, you saying America's the power?
Well, not after Waterloo. America was a backwater in.
Oh, I see. Okay. Since then.
Yes.
What's the pole?
Then it was London. Now it's Washington.
Okay, right. I'm going to put
that. And it shifts sort of gradually in the interwar period. Okay. That center of gravity shifts until by 1945 it's done.
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below.
With a free trial, you can enjoy the full talk and thousands more.
Thank you for being part of the conversation.